Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside. Episode 18, The Judgment of Fintan.
Hello, welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. I'm Ruth.
And I'm Gary. Just to keep you up to date, let's tell you how you can contact us. You can email us by sending an email to Gary or Ruth at CelticMythPodShow.com. Or you can chat to us on Twitter and contact us on our Facebook and MySpace pages. All these details you can find on the Contact Us page of the website. You can also chat to us in our forums. And there are some interesting discussions going on there.
Yes, there are, aren't there?
Hmm.
We'd love to hear your opinions about how we're doing and what you think of the stories. So please get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you.
We always do. And now, let's have some news and views.
We've been contacted by an amazing harpist, and the beautiful music you're about to hear during this story is the wonderful music of Anne Roos, Celtic harper.
A grateful thanks to Anne for allowing us to play her music as part of the show. We discovered her music as she generously sent us three super CDs for us to listen to. As well as the evocative Celtic harp music, each CD has a lovely little book to go with it. Each of these beautifully illustrated books has got a theme, gives an introduction, a history of each piece of the music, and biographical information on the musicians who contributed to the album.
They're really super books, aren't they?
Aren't they pretty, though?
Yeah, they're really beautifully illustrated.
Thank you so much,
Anne. They're gorgeous. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more about Anne in the future, but in the meantime, you can find out more about her and her music in the show notes. Okay, Gary, what's this episode's story about?
Well, in this story, which is part one of a two-part story, we hear the tale of the oldest and greatest Shanachie, that's a storyteller of Ireland, Fintan. It was the job of the Shanachie to travel the land of Erin and collect stories from far-flung corners. And this tale tells of his long life and his place in the history of the magical isle of Erin. A gentle breeze rippled the tall grasses on the plain of Brega before Tavia, like a maiden shaking her hair. The descendants of Niall of the Nine Hostages, the Wee Neil, feasted well in the grand hall of Dermot, High King, son of Fergus Cerbal, 600 years after the rising of the White Christ. The clansmen were sore aggrieved, and had brought their grievance before Dermot. They considered that the plain of Tavir, with its seven views on every side, was unprofitable because it was so much land without a house or cultivation on it, and of no service to the hearth of Tavir. So they were considering the curtailing of that green. Every 3 years they were obliged to support the men of Erin, and to feed them for 7 days and 7 nights. This is how they used to proceed to the feast of Dermot, son of Cerbal. No king used to go without a queen, or chieftain without a chieftainess, or warrior without a wife or husband, or healer without a consort, or youth without a love, or maiden without a lover, or man without an art. The kings and Olaves used to be seated around Dermot, son of Cerbal. The kings and Olaves together, warriors and raiders together. The youths and maidens and the proud common folk were seated in the chambers around the doors, and the correct portion of the meal was given to each. That is, choice fruit, oxen, boars and bacon for the kings and Olaves, and for the free noble elders of the men of Erin likewise. Stewards and stewardesses carved and served for them. Then red meat from spits of iron, Mead, new ale and milk water was served to warriors, raiders, stewards and stewardesses, with tasters and cupbearers carving and serving for them. The heads and feet next of all kinds of cattle were given to charioteers and entertainers, and for the common folk, with young men and maidens and doorkeepers carving and dispensing for them. And then veal, lamb and pork, and the seventh portion was served outside to the young men and maidens and doorkeepers, because their mirth used to entertain them, and the nobility much enjoyed their company. Warriors of the Fianna and female slaves carving and dispensing for them, as well as for themselves. And in this year, the nobles of Erin were summoned to the feast at the house of Tevir by Dermot, son of Kerbal. But they said they would not partake of the feast of Tevir until the settling of the lands of Tevir was determined, how it was before their day, and how it would be after them for all time. And they delivered that answer to Dermot. Dermot replied that it was not right to ask him to divide up the territory of Tevir without taking the counsel of Flawn Feibla, son of Sconlon, son of Fingen, who is the Christian head of Erin and the successor of Pordric, or of Fiachra, son of the Embroideress. Messengers were accordingly dispatched to Fiachra, son of Colman, son of Yorgan, and he was brought under them to help them, because their learned men were few, and many were their unlearned, and numerous their contentions and their problems.
"It is good that you have come, Fiachra, son of Colman, for we need you to decide for us how to divide up the land subject to Tevir."
"I will not decide for you while there is one older and wiser than I to give judgment."
"Is he?"
"No hard matter that. His kinfeilad, son of Moiradach, son of Yogan, son of Njal. It is from his head that the brain of forgetfulness was removed at the Battle of Moira. He remembers all that he heard of the history of Erin from that time down to the present day. It is right that he should come to decide for you."
Kinfeilad was then sent for, and he came to them and they asked him also the same thing.
"It is not proper for you to ask that of me, so long as there are five seniors to me still dwelling in Erin."
"Who then are they?"
"Easy to tell. Finchard from Folmog of Leinster, and Cuolod from Cruachu Conalod, and Bron Berna from Beren, Duborn, son of Deg from the province of Fironnamocht, and Tuan, son of Cairel from Ulid. He who passed into many shapes."
These five were then sent for, and they were brought to Tevir, and they were asked the same thing, namely to partition the manor of Tevir for them. Then each of the five related what he remembered, and they said that it was not proper for them to partition Tevir and its manor, so long as their senior and teacher in Erin were not present in the assembly.
"Where then is he?" "It's not hard to tell. Fintan, son of Bochra, son of Bi, son of Noah. He's a Duntochar in Kerry."
Then Beron, Kenfelad's attendant, went for Fintan to Duntochar to the west of Luachair Dede to deliver Dermot's message to him. Fintan agreed to accompany him to Tevir. His retinue consisted of 18 companies, namely 9 before him and 9 behind. There was not one among them who was not of the seed of Fintan. Sons, grandsons, great-grandsons, and descendants of his was all that host. A great welcome was given to Fintan in the banqueting house, and all were glad at his coming to hear his words and his stories, and they all rose up before him, bidding him to sit in the judges.
"Come, Fintan, son of Bochra, sit in the seat of judgment."
"That I will not do, until I know the question you would ask of me. There is no need to make rejoicing for me, for I am as sure of your welcome as every son is sure of his foster mother's welcome. And my foster mother is the island on which you are, even Erin, and the familiar near this island is the hill on which you stand, namely, Tevir."
Casting his one eye over the eager faces, he made this lay.
"Erin, though it is inquired of me, I know accurately. Every colonization it has undergone since the beginning of the pleasant world. His heir came from the east, the woman daughter of Bi, with her 50 maidens and her trio of men. The deluge overtook them, though it was a sad pity, and drowned them all, each one on his mountain. Bi, north in Sleevebear, sad was the mystery. Ladru in Adladron, Kizair in her recess. As for me, I was saved by the gods, protected from the waters. The deluge parted above me, above massive Tulswinda. I was a year under the deluge on strong Tulswinda. None have slept, nor will they, any better sleep. Then Partholon came to me from the east, from the Grecian land, and I lived on with his progeny, though it was a long way. I was still in Erin when Erin became a wilderness, until Agnemon's son came, Nemed, pleasant his ways. Next came the Fir Bolg. That is a fair true tale. I lived together with them whilst they were in the land. The Fir Bolg and Fir Galioin came. A long time thereafter, the Fir Domnann came. They settled in Irus in the west. Then came the Tuatha-Dé, in clouds of dark mist, and I lived along with them, though it was a long life. After that came the Sons of Meal out of Spain from the south, and I lived along with them, though mighty was their combat. I had attained to long life, I will not hide it, when I saw the new faith arrive of the King of the Cloudy Heaven. I am White Fintan, Bochra's son, I will not hide it. Since the deluge, here, I am a high noble sage.
That is good, O Fintan. We learn much from every neglect which we may cause you. Yet we should like to know from you how reliable is your memory.
That is no hard matter. One day I passed through a wood in Westmunster in the west. I took away with me a red yew berry, and I planted it in the garden of my court, and it grew up there until it was as big as a man. Then I removed it from the garden and planted it on the lawn of my court. And it grew up in the centre of that lawn so that I could fit with 100 warriors under its foliage. And it protected me from wind and rain, and from cold and heat. I remained, and so did my yew, flourishing together, until it shed its foliage from decay. Then when I had no hope of turning it even so to my profit, I went and cut it from its stock, and made from it 7 vats, and 7 buckets, and 7 tubs, 7 churns, 7 pitchers, 7 cups, and 7 cauldrons with hoops for all of them. And so I remained then, and my yew vessels with me, until their hoops fell off through decay and age. Then I remade them all, but could only get a barrel out of a vat, and a tub out of a barrel, and a churn out of a tub, and a pitcher out of a churn, and a cup out of a pitcher, and a spoon out of a cup. And I swear, I know not where those substitutes are, since they perished from me with decay.
You are indeed venerable. It would be a transgression of an elder's judgment to transgress your judgment. It is for that reason we have summoned you, that you should be the one to pronounce just judgment for us.
It is true indeed that I am skilled in every just judgment that has been given from the beginning of the world until this day.
Picking up his harp, he made the following lay.
I know in this way no foolish one will find it. The first judge, no boasting and no concealment, who pronounced without fault the first judgment. The judgment on the division of dark and light. It was over Druimden. I know the manner in which it was given. The old ones gave it. And knowledge spread, as it was the first crime, so it was also the first judgment. the divine gift of the dear gods was that men should have judgment. So the law of fair speech was given to man, greater than every other good law. Fainius Farseed, long life of favour, and Kai Cain Brehach, by them were given no trifling festival, the 72 tongues. Amargin of the Island of the Gale, our gold, our glory, our ray, Amargin Glungel the Valorous gave the first judgment concerning Tavir. Three kings in Liadruim Nalair, and the four sons of Meel striving for the mighty possession of the illustrious island of Erin. There, Amargin pronounced for them the most wise and fair judgment, that the sons of Meel should go out over 9 waves on the mirthful sea. Thereupon they put out to sea, the 4 sons of the King of Spain, and they buried a funeral over the waves, Dawn, whom they left at Tech Duind. After valiant and cunning fight, Ír was left in the rough splintered clay of the Skelly. Thereupon the hosts of Ebr and Eremon departed eastwards, and after loss of their force they occupied Erin, on escaping from Egypt. Thereafter, Jesus was born from Mary the Maiden, and judgments were declared with goodness through the new holy covenant. This is enough of eloquence, the little crown of the performances of fair judgments, that the eager hosts should know that they might be learned in learning.
That is good, O Fintan. We are the better for your coming and relating to us the story of Erin.
I remember truly the progression of the history of Erin, how it has been until now, and how it will also be until the end of time.
Question. How did you acquire that? And out of that history, what do we need to help us in the matter of our discussion, which is the settling of the manor of Tavir?
No hard matter, that. I will tell you some history about it.
Fintan found himself a seat by the fire, picked up his harp, and he told them his tale.
Once we were holding a great assembly of the men of Erin, around Conig Bekechlach, king of Erin. On a day then, in that assembly, we beheld a great hero, fair and mighty, approaching us from the west, at sunset. We wondered greatly at the magnitude of his form. As high as a wood was the top of his shoulders, the sky and the sun visible between his legs by reason of his size and his comeliness. A shining crystal veil about him like the raiment of precious linen. Sandals upon his feet, not known of what material they were. Golden yellow hair upon him, falling in curls to the level of his thighs. Stone tablets in his left hand. A branch with 3 fruits in his right hand. And these are the 3 fruits which were on it. Nuts and apples and acorns in Maytime, and unripe was each fruit. He strode past us then round the assembly, with his golden, many-coloured branch of cedarwood behind him, and Conaing the king said to him,
"Come hither, hold speech with the king, Conaing Bechalach."
He made this answer, and said,
"What is it that you desire from me?"
"I don't know where you've come from, and where you're going. What is your name and surname?"
"I have come indeed from the setting of the sun, and I am going unto its rising, and my name is Trefwilni Triochir."
"Why has that name been given to you?"
"Easy to say. That is because it is I who causes the rising of the sun, and also its setting."
"And what brought you to the setting, if it's at the rising you should be?"
"Easy to say. A man has been tortured, that is, has been crucified by Jews today, and the sun stepped past them after that deed and has not shone upon them. That is what has brought me to the setting, to find out what ailed the sun. And when I knew the lands over which the sun sets, I came to Mishgluari, or Feresdomnan, and I found no land from that westwards. For that is the threshold over which the sun sets, just as the paradise of Adam is the threshold over which it rises. Say then, what is your race? Whence have ye come to this island?"
"Easy to say. from the children of New Spain and from the Greeks that we sprung. After the building of the Tower of Nimrod, and the confusion of tongues we came into Egypt, upon the invitation of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Nael, son of Phanius, and Goilglass were our chiefs while we were in the south. Hence we are called Fainer from Phanius, and that is the Fane. And Gales from Gaelglass, as was said. The Fane from Phanius are named, meaning without straining. The Gales from Gaelglass, the hospitable. The Scots from Scota. Scota, then, the daughter of Pharaoh, the king, was given as a wife to Nael, son of Phanius, on going into Egypt, so that she is our ancestress. And it's from her we are called Scots. On the night in which the children of Israel escaped out of Egypt, and forefathers were not with the Egyptians in pursuit of Moses and his people, so they escaped in the night in 10 of Pharaoh's ships from the Strait of the Red Sea, upon the boundless ocean, and round the world northwest, past the Caucasus Mountains, past Scythia and India, across the sea that is there, namely the Caspian, over the Palus Maiotis, past Europe, and from the southeast to the southwest along the Mediterranean, left hand to Africa, past the columns of Hercules to Spain, and from there to this island.
And Spain, where is that land?
From it hard to say. It is the distance of a great prospect from us to the south. For it is by sight that Eith, son of Breogan, saw the mountains of southern Iris from the top of the Tower of Breogan in Spain. And it is he who came to spy out the island for the sons of Mil. Following after him, we came into it.
How many are you in this island? I should like to see you assembled in one place.
We are not so few indeed. If you desire it, so shall it be done. Only I think it will distress the people to support you during that period.
There will be no distress, for the fragrance of this branch which is in my hand will serve me for food and drink as long as I live. He remained then with them 40 days and nights, until the men of Erin were assembled for him at Tevea. And when he saw them all in one place, he said to them, "What histories do you have of the men of Erin in the royal house of Tevea? Make them known to me."
"We have no old Sharnakis, no story holders, in truth, to whom we could entrust the chronicles until you came to us."
"You will have that from me. I will establish for you the progression of the stories and chronicles of the half of Tevea itself, with the four quarters of Erin round about. For I am the truly learned witness who explains to all everything unknown. Bring to me then 7 from every quarter in Erin, who are the wisest, the most prudent, the most cunning also, and the Sharnakis of the king himself, who are of the hearth of Tevea. For it is right that the four quarters should be present at the division of Tevea and its history, that each 7 may make its due share of the chronicles of the hearth of Tevea." So he took those Sharnakis apart and related to them the chronicles of every part of Erin. And afterwards he said to the king, even Conaing, "Come aside with me, so that I may relate to you and the company of the men of Erin with you, how we have partitioned Erin, as I've made it known to the 4 groups of 7 already." So he related it to them all again in general, and it was to me it was entrusted for explanation and for delivery before the host, I being the oldest Sharnaki he found before him in Erin. For I was in Tol Twyndwr at the time of the deluge, and I was alone there after the deluge for 1,002 years when Erin was desert. And I lived afterwards with every generation that occupied it down to the day Trefilnid came into the assembly of Conaing Beg Eclach. Therefore it was Trefilnid tested me through his knowledge by questioning. "Oh, Fintan, tell me of Erin. How has it been divided? Where have things been therein?"
"Easy to say. Knowledge in the west, battle in the north, prosperity in the east, music in the south, kingship in the centre."
"True indeed, O Fintan. You are an excellent Sharnaki in holding the memory of this land. It is thus that it has been, and will be, forever. Namely, Her learning, her foundation, her teaching, her reliance, her judgment, her chronicles, her counsels, her stories, her histories, her science, her comeliness, her eloquence, her beauty, her blushings, her bounty, her abundance, her wealth.
Where do these come from?
Easy to say. From the western part, in the west. It was then that he said, her battles also, and her contentions, her hardihood, her rough places, her strifes, her haughtiness, her unprofitableness, her pride, her captures, her assaults, her hardness, her wars, her conflicts.
Where do these come from?
Easy to say. From the northern part, in the north. Her prosperity then, and her supplies, her beehives, her contests, her feats of arms, her householders, her nobles, her wonders, her good custom, her good manners, her splendour, her abundance, her dignity, her strength, her wealth, her householding, her many arts, her accoutrements, her many treasures, her satin, her serge, her silks, her cloths, her green spotted cloth, her hospitality.
Where do these come from?
Easy to say. From the eastern part, in the east, her waterfalls, her fairs, her nobles, her raiders, her knowledge, her subtlety, her musicianship, her melody, her minstrelsy, her wisdom, her honour, her fichor playing, her vehemence, her fierceness, her poetical arts, her advocacy, her modesty, her code, her retinue, and her fertility.
And where do these come from?
Easy to say. In the southern part, in the south. Her kings, moreover her stewards, her dignity, her primacy, her stability, her establishments, her supports, her destructions, her warriorship, her charioteership, her soldiery, her principality, her high kingship, her oleship, her mead, her bounty, her ale, her renown, her great fame, and her prosperity.
And where do these come from?
Easy to say. From the centre position. Trefwilnid Treochir left that meeting with the men of Erin forever, and he left with Fintan, son of Bochar, some of the olive berries from the branch which was in his hand, and so that he planted them in whatever places he thought it likely they would grow in Erin. And these are the five trees which grew up from those berries: the ancient tree of Tortu, and the tree of Ros, and the tree of Munna, and the branching tree of Da, and the ancient tree of Wisnech. Fintan placed his harp down after this, and after drinking deeply from his ale cup, told of how he remained, relating the stories to the men of Erin, until he himself was survivor of all the ancient trees. They'd all withered during his time. So as Fintan thought of his own old age and that of the trees, he made this lay. I see clearly today, in the early morn after rising from Dun Tulchar in the west, away over the top of the wood of cedar. By the god's doom, I am an old man. I am more unwilling than ever, for it is long since I drank a drink of the deluge over the navel of Wisnech. Bila Tortan, Yorosa, one as lovely and bushy as the other. Munar and Crave Dai today, and only Fintan surviving. So long as Ezruid resounds, so long as salmon are playing in it, Dun Tulchar, to which the sea comes, will not depart from a good Sharnaki. I am a Sharnaki myself before every host. 1,000 years,
and no mistake before the time of the Sons of Meal, abundance of strength, I was bearing clear testimony. And his eyes misted over, and the men around him became quiet, listening to the man telling them the story of their land, their families, and their kin. Listening to the man that was the memory of Erin. In our next episode, we hear the judgment of Fintan, and the world's oldest man meets the world's oldest hawk.
And now for some listener feedback. We've had a lovely email from listener Paul that we'd like to share with you. And he says,
just wanted to email to say well done on the show today. I find the podcast really entertaining and really informative.
Oh, that's really nice of you, Paul. Thank you.
Some of the biggest points for me are the chance to hear the stories I may not have come across otherwise, presented in a way lacking any kind of pretension, and also your willingness to openly and humbly accept the feedback and constructive criticism of your audience.
Thank you again. It's true that we think the stories are much more important than the storytellers. And if you guys come up with ways in which we can improve the show, then it's better for all of us, I think.
I do too. While the show is very much about something that you love personally, you are driven to make sure there's a real connection with your listeners too, and that's refreshing.
Thank you so much, Paul. Yes, we do love the stories, and it's a privilege to make this show.
It is. We're so lucky to be able to do it. And you are right, Paul. It's very important to us to keep in touch with our listeners. I think the story of Fintan shows that the story, the storyteller, and the audience are all one big linked circle. Thank you very much for your stimulating email.
As you probably know, Podia Books produce some amazing podcast novels, and they've just released a new novel by Rhonda R. Carpenter called The Mark of a Druid. For both of the heroes in the story, an ancient Celtic prophecy and a long-sought revenge entangles the past with the present. A druidess and a shapeshifter must join to save the druid way of life, while a queen conspires to kill Erin's only high king. Here's the promo.
When Eve McCormick, a clinical hypnotherapist, researches reincarnation, she gets more than she bargained for. And she has the marks to prove it. The blood oaths and karmic debts of the past entrap her in a way that makes the reader stop and wonder, have I lived before? The Mark of a Druid is a work of paranormal fantasy fiction of a historic nature. Written and read by Rhonda R. Carpenter. More about the author at rhondacarpenter.com or themarkofadruid.com.
Well, that sounds good. It's got to be added to my reading queue.
Yes, sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
Well, that wraps up the first half of our story of Fintan. Until next time.
The dog's got to have a scratch.
What's he like?
That's what you're saying. Until next time, slong of oil.
Slong of oil.
You've been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, available from CelticMythPodShow.com. We hope you've enjoyed the show and will stay tuned for the next episode. You can send us a quick email or voice feedback by emailing either Gary, that's G-A-R-Y, or Ruth, R-U-T-H, at CelticMythPodShow.com. You can chat to us in the forums on our website. The show notes for this episode can also be found on the website. We'd like to say a special thank you to Coulan's Hounds, who provided us with the theme music for our show. We heard Haghole at the beginning and are listening to The Skylark now. You can find out more about this foot-stomping band at www.sfhounds.com. And thanks again to Diane Arkinstone and Kim Robertson, whose music has been used for some of the incidental music in this podcast. You'll find links to their websites in our show notes.